You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Nearly one in four Kiwis have poor mental well-being, according to figures from Stats NZ. This makes it very likely that you or someone you know has had to seek help from mental health services at some point. And just about anyone who's had to interact with these services can tell you that they're not very good. The current state of the sector is an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff, with people reporting difficulty accessing services unless things are absolutely dire, and often being met with long waiting lists and a lack of funding being palpable. I myself was met with a 6-month wait to see a psychologist a few years ago. The Labour government have promised to overhaul the system, starting with a landmark national inquiry into mental health and addictions, He Ara Oranga. However, 2 years after the government accepted most of the recommendations made in the inquiry, not much has changed on the ground. I came across an analysis of a series of interviews conducted with various stakeholders, people with lived experience, community groups, primary health organisations and government organisations. And what these groups consistently said is that certain issues persist, including difficulty accessing services and accessing funding, disconnected services, and consultation with Māori, Pacifica and people with lived experience being merely tokenistic. The Mental Health Foundation was one of the groups interviewed. So I reached out to their chief executive, Sean Robinson, for his perspective on the matter and what could be done. I started by asking for an overview of He Ara Oranga's findings.
So this was the report of the inquiry into mental health and addictions in New Zealand. It was a major inquiry. There were thousands of submissions, both oral and written, and the inquiry team went up and down the country. And really, it was a great outpouring of people's grief and pain and hurt around deficits in mental health and the lack of support that they had received. But it was also, a big clarion call of hope, for what people wanted to see. And so the report came out with 40 recommendations, and they're really talking about a major change in approach in mental health from an illness-focused approach where we wait for people to become unwell and then, try to fix them. And the previous system was really designed only to meet the needs of the 3% of people who were most unwell. So it was set up completely to fail and then neglected. So this was, saying, no, we need to be trying to keep people well and really build people's mental health. As the next step, and part of that is addressing things they can do to look after their own mental health and well-being and to support one another, but also addressing some of the social issues like family violence, poverty, racism, that contribute to poor mental health. Then the next layer was, much earlier support for people. So, not waiting till people are in that worst 3% before they can access some kind of support. And so an attempt to roll out much earlier intervention services for people sort of at a GP or community organisation level. And part of that was also a change so that people who've lived with mental distress and been recipients of services and communities that are heavily affected like Māori and Pacifica, they become part of designing those services with the people that are developing the new services. So that was a key plank, that we need to have a concerted strategy around addressing our alarming levels of suicide in New Zealand. And that our acute services, need to be very much focused on recovery, not just on throughput and kind of, bums on beds. So it's really a call for a major change. It's going to require a whole bunch of different things, better information, a lot more trained staff, different types of staff, so peer support, workers, people who've lived through the same experience, being part of caring and supporting others, a very strong population health approach, so the same sort of approach that we've taken to COVID-19, where we've tried to stop people getting sick rather than waiting for them to get sick. So that was what Te Ara Oranga has called for, and the government largely accepted it nearly 2 years ago when they accepted 38 of the 40 recommendations. However, in the fine print there, probably half of those 38 recommendations were either just accepted in principle or the government noted that further work was required. But that was okay, and they did allocate $1.9 billion into mental health, which, while it sounds like a big number, that was over 4 years, so that's less than half a billion a year. And actually, that is about the amount of funding that was needed to catch up for the underfunding from the previous 10 years. So while it sounded like a big number, it wasn't really, but it was a start.
The Mental Health Foundation was one of 41 stakeholders interviewed as part of the interim progress report on the recommendations from the He Ara Oranga report. What's your take on the government's response so far?
So I think, you know, everybody in the sector felt quite optimistic 2 years ago. But 2 years down the track, I think people are starting to feel very frustrated. We've just done some research, which we released this week, that showed that 25% of the adult population had dangerously low levels of mental and emotional well-being. So, you know, that's very significant. That's a million people, and it's not just in the future or over a year, that's right now, today. It's not unreasonable to extrapolate that research into people under 18, and so we're probably looking at 1.25 million people today who are really struggling with their mental health and well-being. So that is a ongoing mental health crisis that has not gone away. In fact, it's got worse. Probably COVID-19 has contributed to that, but we really wanted to sort of fly that flag and say this issue has not gone away and more needs to be done. Now, we're not expecting that the government could have fixed it all by now, but we are very disappointed with what they have done. For a start, nearly 2 years on, they have no plan that says how they are going to implement those 38 recommendations. There is no plan. So we don't know how the ones that are in principle are going to be turned into practice. We don't know the ones that needed more work, or how are they going to do that work. They've jumped into cherry-picking a few things and, you know, not taking a consistent, cohesive approach, which is exactly what the inquiries told them not to do. To make matters worse, over that same 2 years, the Ministry of Health has stopped publishing its monitoring of mental health services. So, you know, we have no plan and we have no monitoring. I think, you know, that is not a recipe for inspiring confidence that, you know, that things are under control. And then I think the third thing that's really concerning is that, you know, the Minister of Health clearly has a major agenda for restructuring the whole health system. So that huge task has now superseded the already huge task of realigning mental health. And it appears to us, the Mental Health Foundation, that there is no one in Cabinet who is really taking their prime responsibility to make sure that mental health turns around.
Why do you think mental health is such a pressing issue in New Zealand? Both in the sense that why do so many Kiwis find themselves in such distress, and also why is the mental health system so ill-equipped to actually help them?
Well, I think, you know, this is an issue around the world, you know, and it is kind of the paradox of our modern lifestyles that, you know, we have never been wealthier, particularly in Western countries, but we've never been more unhappy. Depression overtook heart disease as the most common ailment in OECD countries about a year ago. So New Zealand is not alone. You know, we have lost the things from our lifestyles that that support our mental health and well-being. And because we didn't take this approach of keeping people well, and because mental health has been neglected and the system was only designed for the people who are, you know, in the most serious 3% of distress, then of course services are overwhelmed. If you don't keep your population, it's the same as with COVID-19. If we had not worked really hard to keep the population well, you know, our services would have been overwhelmed by sick people. And that's what's happened in mental health. We have not put the emphasis on keeping people well. We have not provided enough services for those who are not well. And, you know, the natural consequences, the whole system is completely overwhelmed.
There's been a lot of coverage on the state of New Zealand's mental health system and a lot of promises from this government to do something to address it. At this point, it seems pretty clear what the problems are, especially to those who've had to interact with the system. Are all these reports with little change resulting, does it kind of start to seem like just bureaucratic meandering?
Well, I think, you know, yes, it does. I mean, I know there are a lot of people who really want to see this change who are becoming very frustrated and disillusioned. And I think the politicians, I'm concerned that neither the politicians nor the bureaucrats fully understand he ara oranga. And you can tell because they're not implementing it as an integrated package. And I also think that the Ministry of Health has not changed the way it operates in the community, and therefore we're not getting a different result. You cannot behave the same way and expect a different result. So, yeah, it's a major wake-up call. You know, I think there's still goodwill to try and make these changes in mental health, but the first 2 years, you know, have not been good. The crisis is getting worse, not better, and it's a point to reassess and have a major wake-up in terms of, you know, how we do this.
Considering how long this problem has been allowed to snowball, has it become too big of an issue now for any meaningful change to actually be made in the short term?
Look, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, the key missing ingredient is that resilience building and well-being building, you know, amongst the general population. You know, I think if, you know, all it would take would be, you know, half of a percent of the 1.9 billion put into promoting, you know, the behaviours that build up well-being. And I think, you know, we would be getting upstream of the issues and we could turn that around. Now, it is going to take a number of years, but, you know, what I would like to see some honesty from the government and from the Ministry of Health to say, wow, this is harder than we thought. We got distracted by COVID-19. The things we've been trying aren't having a big enough impact. We need to have a rethink. And then I think everyone would go, yeah, fair enough. You know, this was not entirely this government's problem at all. And people would get behind them. But instead, we're kind of getting a there's nothing to see here, move on type of response. And, you know, that is simply not acceptable when there's 1.25 million people suffering today. You know, what we're getting so far is not good enough.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.